What does meditation look like for you? Like,
what I find, I guess it's not really thought. It's the sensations. It's the feeling stressed out, but it's not like thoughts. It's the feeling of it. I don't know how else to explain it. So it's not like, money, scary, too much stuff going on. It's not what I have going on in my brain. So, but I will, like, just sitting there, not on my phone, not on the computer, not talking, just allowing and being okay with what is there. Really, it definitely does help. Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by 3Pi². I'm April.
Steven.
And it just started pouring rain. Wow. Well, today is one of those days where we are recording a batch of podcasts. And the one we just recorded, I explained that we just needed some low effort type of conversations to throw in the mix here, right? We talk about some complicated stuff, some deep stuff, and we have some great speakers or guests on, and we cover a lot of information. But today we're just kind of taking a step back. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it. Anyways, we're here, and we're wearing our hoodies. Well, you don't have your hoodie on anymore. Hoodie and ball caps and a nice, cold, rainy day. So, hello, everyone. Here, welcome. So, Steven does not know what we're talking about today. This is a surprise to him. And I don't even know if this is going to be in order from the podcast that we recorded earlier today, or if it's going to be something that's just there for when we need it in a couple of months. Who knows? Regardless, I'm very thankful that you took time out of your busy schedule and are here listening today. All right. So this topic kind of goes along with some things that we've been talking about recently about burnout. And I promised that we would continue the conversation and it wouldn't be just like a quick series and then be done with it. It will be an ongoing conversation that we have. And in our previous podcast today, when we record multiple podcasts in a day, like, it's almost impossible for us not to refer back to the previous podcast, because it's like we feel like you are there with us, right? Even though you haven't heard it yet, right? And we know you're going to. It's still, we feel like you're in the room here with us when we're talking to our monitor. So we discussed a little bit more about burnout, and we talked about how, you know, we have low energy right now because we have so many projects going on and so many things going on. And some of the questions that we asked each other was about, like, how we handle burnout and, like, what do we do to prevent it? Or once we find ourselves in it, how do we get out of it? And so, if you haven't heard our ask each other, rapid fire questions, then you can go back and listen to that podcast. But today, kind of along that same theme, we're going to talk about what is saving our sanity right now. Okay. So we're just going to share some tools or habits or mindset shifts and resources, and we're just going to have a real, raw, relatable, hopefully, conversation about, like, hey, when you are in that, and it's not that it's not that like anything bad is happening, right? We're not dealing with staff turnover. We're not dealing with major like drama or issues within our company. Like, that's where we would find ourselves when we would kind of reach that burnout within the ABA company, right? Is when we were at that point. But I think it's also important to spotlight that sometimes we find ourselves in like a state of burnout or overwhelm or just tired, low energy when things are going good too, right? There's just a lot of projects, a lot of work to be done, and so many hours in a day, right? So sometimes you find yourself in that spot when things are going good.
Okay.
Do you agree?
Sure. I find, I don't know if this is burnout. If you have to be cynical, then I'm not burned out, but certainly there's a lot going on. I guess you could say overwhelmed would be an easier way to define it, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot going on and there's not enough hours in the day. And it seems right now at this moment with what I'm working on, what you're working on, it's even more so than a normal, like 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like more involved.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more projects on the go, like ongoing right now. They're all kind of at similar priority levels,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of good in a way because then, I mean, there's still things that are getting pushed to the back burner, mm-hmm. but we're able to maintain multiple projects at the same time, which mm-hmm. is also good because we're progressing in several areas. But yeah, there's only so many hours of the day, right?
Correct.
So what tools are you using right now to save your sanity? Is there anything that stands out to you? Is your sanity in question right now?
No, I feel like we would have done this podcast, I don't know, 4 weeks ago. Yeah. I wasn't saying I don't think that it had anything to do with work. So meditation is something that I've been doing more recently, and that even small 5-10 minute meditations has definitely been helping.
So I have a question for you.
Hmm.
So I know a lot of times when people say meditation,
mm-hmm.
like it's like, or are you sitting on a pillow for an hour and you have like a completely quiet mind?
Hmm. You asking me a question? Yeah,
what does meditation look like for you? Like,
I mean, I do generally have a quiet mind.
Do you?
Yeah, there isn't much going on up there. As I've said in a previous podcast, like there isn't anything under the hood. What you see is what you get. What I find, I guess it's not really thought. It's the sensations. It's the feeling stressed out, but it's not like thoughts. It's the feeling of it. I don't know how else to explain it. So it's not like money, scary, too much stuff going on. It's not what I have going on in my brain. So, but I will, like, just sitting there, not on my phone, not on the computer, not talking, just allowing and being okay with what is there. Really, it definitely does help.
Mm, yeah. It's funny though, because our brains are very different.
Yes.
Mine's constantly.
Yeah, like, I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm like 50 tabs open all up. Yeah, it's very noisy in my brain.
Yeah.
And so meditation isn't necessarily a thing that I find easy.
Right.
I do guided meditation sometimes, mm-hmm. but even then I find myself not really being able to focus on that because then I like lose track and I'm thinking. And but what I do find, what I heard, I don't know, a year or so ago on a podcast, someone told me that, or not, they didn't tell me. Oh, and see, that's what's great about podcasts, though, right? We get to know the people, the hosts that, and the speakers that we listen to. But was that a lot of people have the feeling that, or the thought that podcasts, geez, Louise, is my sanity in place? That meditation, like that they're not good at meditation because their brain doesn't get quiet during meditation. And what they said is that meditation actually is the practice of recognizing that there's a thought and then going,
bringing it back.
And then bringing it back.
Yeah.
Recognizing, bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a regular practice, but I do attempt. I do practice occasionally. And I find I can do that for a short period of time. And it does help from spinning out. Like I'm able to recognize when my thoughts are spinning out a lot of times, and then I can kind of bring it back to like bring it back in.
Yeah. I feel my, like the more meditation I do, the better.
Of course.
I feel like it's like, there's no question, but I also like sitting quiet. The issue is not being pummeled by thoughts. It's that I just have this urge to get up and do something. But it's not like in thought form. It's not like, Stephen, get up. It's not, that's not how it works. It's just there's this urge to get up. So that's where I have to say no. I can sense that urge. I can locate it in my body, right? And now I'm going back to the meditation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. It does.
That's my practice. Yeah. And everybody's practice is meant to be different.
Everybody's practice is different. Mm-hmm. Definitely. For me, I like to, as much as I like to have walks with the family and walks with you, I like to do that at least once or twice a week. I also treasure my alone time walks too. That's when my creativity like completely, sometimes I have to like rein in my creativity, and that's where like all these creative thoughts will start coming into my head, and I have to be like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. And then I like just put it over here, right? Like, and then after a few of those, sometimes I'm able to kind of like quiet my thoughts while I'm walking, and like, am I moving my body and I'm listening to birds or watching the beach or whatever, right? So that I find that's helpful. We talked about at one point, the burnout podcast, where like, let's not wear a burnout as a badge of honor, right? We talked about how, is it because there's too little time and too much to do? Is it that we're working too many hours, or is it that like, are there other things in place? So I'm wondering if, yes, moving your body, eating healthy, meditating, you know, participating in a hobby that fills your bucket, like all that stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a place for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also being prepared, I believe can also help keep you sane, right? And I think part of being prepared is like knowing what's expected.
Sure.
And knowing what you need to do and having systems in place to know how to do these things.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts about that? Like what types of,
No, just keep on going.
What types? Push through. You can do this.
We can do this.
Yeah. What types of,
Let's survive this podcast.
Maybe not our sanity, but we will survive the podcast. No, but seriously though, like what things can you have in place when you have, like I have my list of podcast low energy podcast topic ideas. Now, some might be better than others. Okay. We're going for good enough here sometimes, right?
This is a fine topic.
But at the same, but that helps me, right? So like when I'm low energy, when there's a lot going on, whether it's a good a lot or difficult a lot, right? Like there's something that I can pull from. So as a business leader, and you know, you have those days, like we try to put things in place so that we're not putting out fires all the time. But then sometimes, I mean, that putting out fires is part of it as well.
Correct.
So what can you have in place? Like, what would you think would be one of the first things to have in place as you're opening, as you're starting your business, like a safety net, a fallback on, like of like a procedure, or, okay, when this is happening, I defer to this.
Yeah, I mean, like so you can have, and we have, hundreds of pages of procedures and policies, and they're all important. I wish most of them you never need. They're there if you need them. But probably one of the more important procedures is what you do when you don't have a procedure. Which so having a procedure for when you don't have a procedure. Hey, ABA business owners. Struggling to navigate the complex world of ABA practice management?
You're not alone. We've been there. And that's why we created the ABA Business Leaders Membership. It's your how-to guide for everything you need to run a successful, ethical ABA practice.
From compliance to culture, from billing to hiring, we've got you covered with in-depth videos and insider advice you'll wish you had years ago.
Absolutely. But guess what? You don't have to figure it out alone. Our ABA Business Leaders Membership isn't just a guide, it's your growth accelerator featuring 34 CEUs to keep you and your team on the cutting edge.
That's right. Plus, you get exclusive access to content you can't find anywhere else. Think webinars, live Q&As, real-life success stories from practices making it happen.
And the community aspect is unbeatable. Imagine being connected to a network of ABA business owners, sharing, learning, and evolving together.
No more second-guessing your business decisions or wondering if there's a better way. With the ABA Business Leaders Membership, clarity, confidence, and continuous learning are what you're signing on for.
So, if you're all in on elevating your ABA practice, join us. It's time your business not just survived, but thrived.
Head on over to 3piesquared.com and check out the ABA Business Leaders Membership. Let's take your practice to the next level together. Very, very important.
So what would that look like?
So who are you going, like, so something happens. It's a O-O-S moment. I can curse, right? Oh, shit moment. And then now what? So do we panic? Do we run around like chicken with their head cut off? Or do we say, oh, okay. So when this happens, you use the, like, on the wall, right? Like, you break the glass in case of emergency. So this is a break the glass in case of emergency situation. So you say, okay, this is the thing that's happened. Now, who do I reach out to? And it's going to depend based on the issue. Oh, I didn't pay my payroll taxes. What do I do, right? Well, maybe you're talking to your accountant. Maybe you're reaching out to your bank to get some kind of, you know, a certain amount of money, right? Like a business loan or something like that. If it's HIPAA, I'm talking to my fractional security officer and we're discussing what needs to be done, or I'm reaching out to my professional liability insurance and getting their advice and talking to their attorney, right? So it's knowing that no matter what happens, I'm going to look at this, you know, I'm going to look at this and break it down into steps, even when I don't have any steps to break it down into. So maybe the first step in the policy is like, okay, sleep on it if you can, right? Like most things.
Don't react.
Most things you can take a few minutes. It's like, unless the building is literally burning down, then we can take a few minutes. You know, the IRS is not going. You get a letter in the mail. The IRS says, "Hey, you owe us a whole bunch of money." Or an insurance company comes back after a recoupment audit and says, "You owe us $5,000,000,000." even those things. You have an employee that quits. You have a situation with a parent. Maybe they expect of you to respond immediately. That doesn't mean you have to respond immediately. You probably shouldn't respond immediately. Because whatever urge, just like me sitting on the couch doing my meditation, whatever sensation, whatever that is in my body that's telling me, hey, get up and check that email, is actually preventing me from doing what I need to do. And the issue that a lot of, and this isn't ABA specifically, and my entire career, I've seen people like this. They just love to put out fires. They get, whatever, it's a dopamine hit. I don't know. But you can get addicted to putting out fires. And it's actually preventing you from putting long-term strategies in place that will avoid those fires. Why do that when I can be, as I like to call it, the Mighty Mouse syndrome? Here I've come to save the day, right? Like I'm Mighty Mouse, so I'm going to save the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't particularly enjoy those people very much. I would much rather have a plan in place. And part of HIPAA is actually having a plan in place when there is no plan, right? And so, yeah, that, and, you know, engineering, failure mode analysis, like all of this, that's part of it. You determine the priority level of the thing. How quickly do I actually need to respond to it? And then what is my response going to be? What mentors or advisors should I engage with to come up with a good plan for this? And now I have a plan if this thing ever happens again, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's going to totally be a real... Sorry. Mama. I just threw you. No, yeah, like, I think that's, like, that's... gives a like a great snapshot of this, what did you call it, system failure analysis?
Yeah, it's FMEA. I can't remember the name of it.
I mean, anymore. It makes perfect sense though, but I let my what I call is a pause, right? And that's what I feel, that piece is so important, that pause, like that sleep on it, that okay, is this like a real emergency, like is the house burning down? Is someone bleeding out? Like someone having a heart attack? Okay.
Yes, and
call 911, right? Yes. But then it's like, okay, you know, whether you are able to take the pause and then decide, okay, am I going to go for a walk? Am I going to meditate for 5 minutes? Am I going to decide that this can be handled tomorrow and I'm just going to continue doing what was on my list of things to do today?
Yeah, I would urge everyone to practice feeling like the house is on fire, being okay with that feeling of the house is on fire, if we know that the house is not literally on fire. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, you just got this big old, you know, request for $1,000,000 from a funder. Oh, man, trust me, I've been there, not a million, but we've had some pretty high requests, and that's scary, and I did not take my own advice here. I can guarantee you that. I was panicking. There would be times when I would panic in the middle of the night about, did we get that check-in, whatever. So there are going to be times where, no, like, we have to pay our payroll today. We can't wait till tomorrow, or we can't wait till next week, right? And so there are going to be times where you have to take some kind of immediate action. But for the most part, I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, as a business owner, you can say, wait a second, I am going to still do that thing with my family. I am going to, you know, take the night off. I'm going to, maybe I'll send out an email to my accountant or my attorney or whatever. But for the most part, these things can wait a little bit, right? And I think that doing that will also allow your team some space,
mm-hmm.
right? And because, again, they can read the room. And,
well, that's
and,
what I was just thinking. Like, it models, right? Like, yeah. It can model because, you know, on every level, right, there's some kind of fire on every level, right? Whether it's, you know, you're doing the direct work with a kid and you're not quite sure the program didn't go as expected, and do I panic and pause the session and call the VCA and get in a tizzy and not know how to, you know, or do I pause and
yeah, I remember there was one employee we had, a tech, that every session was a fire, and so what was my favorite part of that? I had no favorite part of it, but my like the best part of the whole thing was they would text us, but they wouldn't tell us what's going on. They would just give us enough that you would be like, "What is going on?"
It was like emergency, and then you're like, "Oh, what's going on?"
And then five hours later, then you find out, "Oh, well, this and this happened." So it wasn't an emergency. Got it? And like you at that moment just had this urge that you had to do it, and that was enough. That alleviated enough stress off the top that the top didn't blow anymore, right? And then like the kettle didn't boil over.
Right, you handed your shit back to someone else.
Yes, so they could stew on it, right? Yeah. And so that, like, so I would, so if you're doing that as a business owner, right, even if it's to your clinical director or your director of operations, that gets old real quick, right? Mm-hmm. And the drama, most people don't really enjoy it. So, yeah, so having a plan in place that helps you decide what, like, this could be, like, you know, it could be a flow chart, billing issue, I do this, in general, if it's a clinic issue, I do this, right? You ask yourself questions, is it immediate, is it urgent, what is the level of urgency, right? And just kind of go through the plan of what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
Get some feedback from another business owner or mentor. Again, we want to put the brake on it. Intentionally put the brake on it and be comfortable with the urge to fix everything immediately right now, this moment. Be okay with that sensation. I think that is part of being a mature business owner, right? Mm-hmm. Being okay with that. And yeah. For many years, I was not a mature business owner. Right. Yeah. It was knee-jerk response. You never make a good decision with a knee-jerk response. You, almost never, right? Like, maybe you'll get lucky, you know, 20% of the time. Maybe. That may be overstating that you could do it 20% of the time well, but with a knee-jerk response. That most of the time. If you live by that, it's just going to be a lot of stress. You're going to put a lot of stress on people. You're going to get burnt out quicker. It's going to suck.
So. Yeah, totally. I'm even thinking, wouldn't it be like a really great idea as part of training and part of the like skill sets that you teach your staff is like something very similar, like for a tech level, for a BCBA level. For a clinical director level, like, give everybody, I mean, it's all going to basically look the same, but, like, pause.
Yeah.
Is this an emergency? If yes, then do this. Of course, for those, especially in sessions, well, for anybody, because when you're in that level of nervous system, like dysregulation, right? Like, you need, like, preschool level information coming into your brain, right? Like, so that you can actually follow it. And then, like you said, the more you practice it, the more you'll get better.
Yeah, but this is the thing, is that you have to practice it. Mm-hmm. So, again, if somebody texts you and says, emergency, right? Like, and then you play into that game, then you're not practicing the thing that you're asking them to practice. So, I'm going to go crazy or I don't know what word to use, so don't friggin' come at me, PC police. But, like, you know, like, if somebody texts you and says, something terrible is happening, but then you get the idea of the text and you're like, oh, well, this isn't, like, it's not super important. I don't have to respond to this immediately. But then you play into that and you respond immediately. You're telling your staff to pause, take a moment, check its urgency. Do I have to get back to this? And you're telling your staff to do that, but you're not doing it yourself, right? Yeah. Then this isn't, and maybe some of the time you do it, and then now they're some of the time they get an emergent, they get that response that they're looking for, and then other times you're like, then that may backfire on you because maybe they get this feeling that sometimes they care and sometimes they don't, right? So you want to make sure.
Well, then you're providing like the strongest intermittent reinforcement schedule, right? Correct. Like, so, you're, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like this can't just be let's see if I can ignore my staff. This has to be, hey, in this situation, I think maybe we could have done it differently. And this is how I'm thinking. And then looking back on it, maybe we could have done this. And maybe an email would have been better after the session was over. Or maybe actually an email at the end of the day, or, you know, come into the office before your first session the following day would have been totally fine, right? Like, whatever it is that is helping them determine what they could have done differently, right? And that communication, we've talked in many podcasts, but just having a good communication, open communication. Can't just do this, say, I'm going to try something new, right? Like, hey, Stephen had a great idea. I'm going to start doing that. You want to involve your whole team. You want to have them on board and say why this is important, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you want to explain it. You want to clearly communicate it, what the expectations are. And then I think, too, another part is, like, people want to be heard, too. So there, you can, it doesn't mean, like you said a minute ago, that, like you said, don't ignore your staff. And it could be part of the process is, you know, when you receive a message, you acknowledge it's received. Then you pause, then you whatever the steps are, right? Mm-hmm. And there are neutral ways that you can acknowledge to someone that the information has been received without playing into it or without reinforcing it, probably, right? Like, because there is that level of responsibility of, okay, even if this person's cried wolf 20 times, like, I do need to know, you know? And I think it would help. It just helps with that communication. But also understanding that you may not be able to respond immediately. And that's the other thing, too, is like, you know, if this is legit an emergency, and explain explicit what an emergency is, and then also trust your staff, like tell them that you trust them that, hey, if this is really an emergency, you know, use your common sense. And then of course, if they call emergency and it's not emergency, then you have to talk to them about it and explain to them why that was an emergency. And some of it, there is a learning factor.
Yeah, of course there's going to be a learning
factor. But if you say, okay, hey, you text me with a concern, if you feel like you have to respond immediately every time, then you're still.
Yeah, in my opinion, nobody should be texting people at work, but.
I say texting, but yeah, I don't know, define what that looks like for you. What does, not you, but you listening, you know, I guess, is that's what you can define. How that you show the person that you've heard them, uh-huh. what your time frame is, right? Ooh. Will I respond to emails within 2 business days, or will I respond to, you know, emails within this amount of time? Like, set some parameters for yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, you need a client process anyway, because most funders require that you get back to some a client in a certain amount of time. Anyway.
Well, of course.
So some of these may be dictated by your funders, but then it's just like, maybe ask yourself the question, how quickly would you want to hear back from your supervisor if you had this kind of concern, right? Mm-hmm. And you could kind of use that as a barometer. But again, like it's communicating, hey, we're going to try something a little different, and I'm not ignoring you.
But, yeah, maybe that's what it is, like acknowledging that in the very beginning. Yes, yeah, just because I don't answer within a minute or two, does that mean I'm not ignoring you?
And you can say, like, we're all learning this new skill of like not burning each other out. And so, like, you do what you need to. Here are the ways that you can reach out. You can fill out this form. You can email this email. You can blah, 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 blah.
Well, then right? I wonder too, like, then you can get into like what replacement behaviors, right? Once you're able, your staff, you and your staff are able to recognize when you're like, oh, burnout, I mean, fire, and then you stop. And you pause and you reflect on this. Is this really a fire? Yes. Okay. Do this. If it's not, okay, I have a couple more questions to ask myself. Who do I go to?
Yes.
You know, what do I need to do about this? And it could be like replacement behaviors or like having a system where they record something on a form, a safe form.
You have a voicemail box.
Or an email, like a concerns email, but you still would need to make sure you do respond to those emails at some point. You know, you don't want it to be a, it goes
nowhere. Maybe you have an anonymous form that they fill out.
Maybe you teach them to, maybe it's a self-regulation thing within themselves and they just need to journal. Like, not necessarily journal about the client, but like journal about their own feelings in that moment and recognize that it's coming from within, you know, you know, what skills can, you know, what comes up there and what replacement behaviors can they engage in that moment, right? Two, I'm going to overgeneralize. A lot of our techs, especially, are first-time workers, right? First-time real jobs and right. or straight out of university as our first, like, job or straight out of high school as our first job. It's just an entry-level position. That's why, right? You know, I think about, too, like BCBAs and RBTs. My South Carolina girl in me is coming out. But that's something that would happen a lot, like, is looking at, you know, because we're talking about ABA business leaders burnout, but we're also, like, looking at our staff's burnout. You know, that's a really quick way to burn out your BCBAs is if your techs are constantly firing questions and comments and fires at them at all times.
Dude, we've had BCBAs that did the exact same thing. So it's not just techs. Like, there are some newer BCBAs that just, like, everything is urgent. And that, I mean, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It is, but they're very passionate, right? They want what's best for whoever they're trying to communicate for, whether that be themselves, whether that be the client or the parent or the staff. That's great. Like, I want that person to continue to be passionate, but I want them to be able to do it in the correct way. And I assume that I assume that they also want that, right? Mm-hmm. So are we going to be, you know, all caps texting or screaming on a voice memo and sending that to her, right? Like, it's the same with emails, right? Like, you get a mean email from a client, I would highly recommend, or staff, I would highly recommend you do not respond to that as soon as you get it. This is no different. What do you want? Do you want to defend yourself? Mm. Or are you actually wanting the best result for everyone involved? And that's... Because a reaction, that's like, I've been hurt and I need to defend, right? And that's... probably not the best way to manage a business, so or supervise staff or work with clients. So again, maybe sometimes it's deserved and maybe that client or staff maybe you have to, again, we had the one staff that just went on Teams and like just a group chat and everybody cursing everybody out, saying everybody sucks,
and that was awful. A real fire. We had a not. We
and
had
so
a,
you we shut a, them down as quickly as you can, right? And like that, like so. There are going to be times when that stuff happens, or somebody gets into an accident at work, and you gotta just stop everything. But if you're stopping everything every 5 minutes, then you don't have time to actually stop to do those things that you actually have to stop for. So if everything is a 10, then nothing is a 10, right? Like that when we're talking about skill acquisition based raises, and you say, well, everything is as important, all the skills are a 10 out of 10, then nothing is a 10. It means everything is the same. So it's how do you define what is urgent and what is not? And when do you stop and take a break and say, hey, I'm still going to go for that little walk around the block at my clinic, and I'm going to take a 15-minute breather. I'm going to leave my phone at the office because I don't need it right now, and I don't have to respond to this at this very moment. This, again, I feel is what a mature business owner does. And you're going to teach your directors, you're going to teach your leads, oh, look at that. That crazy thing happened, and they still did what they needed to. Like, they still stepped back, and they took a minute for themselves. And yeah, this isn't the end of the world if I don't respond to it within 30 seconds, and I only respond to it within 30 minutes. Nothing has changed ultimately, other than what you feel in that moment, right? And then now you send out a, maybe in my opinion, a dummy, right? That like was probably not the best response in the world. And then you realize, oh crap, I just sent out that terrible email. Like that was a big mistake. You realize that 15 minutes later, and now you have the anxiety and the worry of the response that you're going to get because you sent out a not so nice email, right? So just, yeah, I don't know. Does that make sense?
100%.
Okay. So that's it. You need a plan for when you don't have a plan. Yeah, that's next level management. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well. All right, everyone. That's what we've got for today.
That's it? Okay, yeah, great. That's it. Awesome. Okay.
That's all we got. Right. Not all we got, but that's it for today. Well, okay. We'll end on that note. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, please, I beg of you, listeners of a podcast, if you can leave a review and rate our podcast, that would mean a lot to me. But only if it's 5 stars and you like it. But if you don't like the podcast,
if you don't like it, email us. Let us know.
Or you could just, I probably won't respond immediately. So you could just not do that either. But I would like the 5-star review. I appreciate it if you do that. Have a wonderful day. If you don't like our podcast, I'd love to hear from you, honestly. I'd be curious as to what you don't like. I think it's an amazing podcast. But have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week, or you'll see us or hear us. And yeah, that's it. You good?
Sounds great. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.